Chapter 18. Felicity and I both love seafood, and seafood stew is something we cook quite often. It's quick to make, it's healthy, it can be served with pasta, rice, or toasted bread to create a complete meal, and it's bloody delicious. As a kid, I was never that keen on fish, and therefore I never fully appreciated how well my mother, also a seafood lover, cooked anything that came from the water. Many of her specialties were served on Christmas Eve, as I've described earlier, but I don't really remember her making a seafood stew. As I began to travel for work and started eating in restaurants more often, I became fascinated by seafood stew and would order it if it was on the menu in any restaurant I went to. One of my first jobs away from home for an extended period of time was in 1988 in Vancouver, British Columbia. Vancouver was about a quarter of the size it is now, but even then it had some fairly good restaurants. Now it has some amazing restaurants. One was a place called Joe Forte's, a sort of old-fashioned seafood and chop house, which is still around. Here they serve a fish stew called Chopino. It is said that Chopino was created by Italian fishermen who had immigrated to San Francisco in the early part of the 20th century and was based on a stew they had made back in Liguria called Chiopin. Like most fish stews, it is composed of whatever fish were hauled up in the daily catch. I had never heard of it before going to Vancouver, but I was very happy to have found it. There are many versions of fish stew, or in Italian, zuppa di pesce, throughout Italy itself and the world over. For instance, in Livorno, there is cacciucco. In Croatia, there is brudet. Yet another from Liguria is called burida. And of course, from Provence, there is the brilliant bouillabaisse. The latter may be my favorite, heretical as that is, given my heritage. Basically, most fish stew recipes are quite similar. However, there are some ingredients that in most places would be acceptable, but in certain regions of Italy are blasphemous to use. For instance, I was once explaining to a Tuscan how I made my fish stew, and when I mentioned the word onion, she became practically apoplectic. No, never. Onion? Yes, a little. No, never. She repeated. Never onion with fish. Really? I asked meekly. Yes, never. Huh. I always find it gives a sweetness, I ventured, but was abruptly cut off by her saying, no, horrible, never. We stopped talking about seafood stew at that point. As I have said, Italians can be very dogmatic when it comes to food in general. For the most part, seafood stews were created by fishermen to make use of the less marketable bits of their catch or any good bits that went unsold. Often, if they were out to sea for long periods, they would bring canned or sometimes fresh tomato, garlic, onions, oil, and salt with them on board and make a stew on the boat with the spoils of the day. The wonderful thing about any fish stew is that you can use inexpensive bits of fish and still make something quite delicious. Of course, more expensive seafood such as langoustines, lobsters, crabs, or tiger prawns, in combination with various pieces of what are now pricier fish, like cod or sea bass, can also be used. Unfortunately, most seafood is rather pricey these days, so seafood stew is no longer a poor man's dish, especially if you are making it for a large dinner party. But be that as it may, if you can't find affordable seafood, hit the fishmonger at the end of the day, as they sometimes give you a discount on bits and pieces of this or that fish that are to be discarded and are perfect for a stew. Or, if you have a hankering for something richer, then splurge on the best fish, crustaceans, and mollusks you can find and have at it. Here is our recipe for fish stew. Fish stew. Serve 6. 2 pounds fresh mussels, the smaller the better. 2 pounds fresh vongole, small clams. 1/4 cup sea salt or cornmeal. 1 teaspoon saffron threads, optional. 2 cups warm or room temperature shrimp stock, optional, but it gives it a richer flavor. 2 cups warm or room temperature fish stock, if you're using shrimp stock. If not using shrimp stock as well, have 4 cups ready. Extra virgin olive oil. 4 garlic cloves, halved. 1 medium onion, diced. 4 cups chopped fresh tomatoes. 3 basil leaves torn in half. Sea salt. 2 whole peperoncini, optional. 2 cups white wine. Freshly ground black pepper. 12 medium shrimp, shells on. 1 pound fresh cod or similar fish, cut into small chunks. 1 pound fresh monkfish or similar fish, cut into small chunks. A handful of fresh parsley, chopped. Good toasted bread for serving. Wash and pull the beards off the mussels. Place the vongole and mussels into separate bowls of cold water, add the salt or cornmeal, and leave to purge for about an hour. After the mussels and vongole have purged, place half of each into a large frying pan of boiling salted water and cover for a few minutes until they have opened. Then remove the meat from the shells, place it into a bowl, and set aside. Discard the shells. Sprinkle the saffron threads, if using, into 1 cup of the stock and let dissolve. Into a medium sauté pan, drizzle a glug of olive oil and add 1 of the garlic cloves and 1/2 of the diced onion. Simmer over a low to medium heat until soft, about 5 minutes. Add the tomatoes, basil, and a large pinch of salt. Cook down until the tomatoes have softened and the mixture begins to gel, about 10 minutes. In a large deep frying pan or pot, pour a glug of olive oil and sauté the rest of the onion and garlic over medium-low heat until softened and translucent. If using the pepperoncini, they can be sautéed now as well. Add the white wine to the pan and raise the heat to allow the alcohol to evaporate. Reduce the heat to medium and add the fresh tomato sauce as well as the stock, including the saffron-infused stock. Add salt and pepper to taste. Let cook for a few minutes. The sauce should now be at a slow boil. Add the clams and mussels that are still in their shells and cover. After 2 minutes, add the shrimp and cover. After 2 more minutes, add the fish and the reserved clam and mussel meat. Cover and cook for about 2 minutes. Turn off the heat and add a drizzle of extra virgin olive oil. Taste and add more salt and pepper if needed. Cover with the lid slightly askew and let rest for about 10 minutes. Ladle into large bowls, sprinkling each with chopped parsley and a drizzle of olive oil. Serve with the toasted bread. I have said that Felicity and I love seafood. We also love the sea, particularly the Amalfi Coast. So when friends invited us to join them for a few days on a private yacht a wealthy friend had loaned them, we jumped at the chance. I find dining al fresco on a beautiful day, no matter what the season, one of the most enjoyable experiences ever. Dining al fresco at a restaurant in any part of Italy is even more enjoyable. Sailing on a yacht and dining al fresco on the Amalfi Coast is so enjoyable that one feels guilty. Well, I do. The fresh, salty sea air and sunshine augment whatever is on one's plate or in one's glass. The ease of summer life there and the generosity of the Amalfitani can't help but strip away all worries and open even the most stubborn of hearts. Traveling with Felicity is always a pleasure. She is incredibly organized and well-researched, particularly when it comes to restaurants. She also knows how to use apps and things on mobile phones that completely confound me. She taps an icon on her mobile device and something positive happens. Directions are displayed and restaurants are located, hotels are rediscovered, tiny shops hidden away reveal themselves, and food markets emerge miraculously as if from nowhere. When I tap an icon on my phone, often nothing happens. This is common, particularly on a cold day, because I have such poor circulation in my fingers that the necessary warmth of a living person needed to activate the device is non-existent in my digit. So, for just a moment or two, I know what it probably feels like to be dead. However, even when I am able to open an app, I usually don't know how to use it, so I end up muttering a few goddammits or stupid fucking app piece of shit before shoving the device back in my pocket and striding forward saying something like, I think it's this way, or it was here yesterday. Felicity usually responds with something subtly cynical like, I don't think they moved the PT Palace while we slept last night, dear. Colonialist, I whispered darkly as I forge ahead into the void. But I digress. Felicity swiftly organized our flights to Italy, asked our hosts where we'd generally be sailing, and began a thorough online search of great restaurants in the vicinity. We flew into Naples and made our way to a marina where our friends were waiting with a small dinghy to take us to the yacht. Needless to say, we were both giddy with excitement. Now, even though I don't swim and get seasick if a boat isn't moving, I actually love boats and I love the sea. I also don't like heights, but I have no problem going on a chairlift or alpine gondola because my passion for skiing eclipses my acrophobia. I know what you're thinking. My God, what a fascinating conundrum of a man is that Stanley Tucci. Whereas my wife is thinking, my God, how many neuroses can one man have? I wonder if there's an app that can help him. Termagant. Over the next few days, we sailed or motored around the coast, either dining on the yacht or stopping off to eat lunch or dinner in Capri or Positano, both of which I've been lucky enough to visit a number of times. One afternoon, we headed southward along the coast for lunch at one of Felicity's picks, a much-loved family-run restaurant named Lo Scoglio. Lo Scoglio translates as the rock or the boulder. But in Italian, it refers only to large rocks or boulders by the shore, and the place is aptly named as it juts out of the shoreline and rests on a huge natural stone jetty. The restaurant is accessible from land by car via the Amalfi Drive, or perhaps more romantically, by boat, as it is situated right on the beach, and the dining area is suspended over the water with a small dock at the end. A portion of this covered dining area can be enclosed by sliding glass windows if the elements should attempt to disturb one's meal, but otherwise it remains open to the sea breezes. It's elegant but not fussy, with that breezy, relaxed air achieved so effortlessly by Italian and French seaside restaurants. The menu is very straightforward, offering frutti di mare, whole fresh fish of the day, pasta alle vongole, and much of the usual Mediterranean fare. But I noticed something that I had never seen before, a dish called spaghetti con zucchine alla Nerano. I inquired about it, and Antonia, one of the owners who manages the restaurant, told me that it was a specialty of the restaurant and that area in general. She told me it was just zucchine, basil, oil, and grated cheese. Intrigued, I ordered it. When the dish arrived, I saw that it was exactly as described, spaghetti with sautéed small zucchine and basil. But upon tasting it, I was unable to reconcile that besides the pasta, there were only three other ingredients. I asked Antonia if there was any garlic or cream or parsley in the dish, and she said there wasn't, and left our table to actually do her job instead of being interrogated by an unnecessarily suspicious customer. But as I took another mouthful, again, I thought that the flavors were too complex for the dish to be made with so few ingredients, and I began to doubt Antonia's insistence that what she had told me was true. When she returned to the table, albeit more hesitantly this time, I asked basically the same questions I had asked her before, but this time around in Italian. For some reason, I thought I might get the truth out of her if she spoke her native language. Non c'è aglio? No. Davvero? Sì. Un po' di crema? Certamente, no, mai. Prezzemolo? No. Solo zucchine, basilico, olio e formaggio. Incredibile. Then in English I posed the famous question that Peggy Lee asked in song so many years ago. Is that all there is? Antonia looked at me, smiled wryly, and said, yes, that's all there is. I would have made a terrible cop. Lo Scoglio was founded in 1952 by Antonia's grandparents, Peppone and Antonietta, and now she and her two siblings are the owners of this rather famous establishment that is today also a small 14-room hotel. She explained to me that spaghetti con zucchine alla Nerano is a very old recipe and by all accounts is what fishermen's wives would cook for their families when zucchine were in season. Today, this recipe, like so many Italian peasant dishes, is considered a luxury for which anyone will happily pay a pretty penny in restaurants all over the world. Cacio e pepe is another example. I told Antonia, who was warming up to me by now, thank God, yet again how much I loved the dish and asked if she wouldn't mind talking me through its preparation. Okay, truth be told, I had to see the process for myself because I still didn't believe there wasn't more to it. And yes, yes, to this day, I am still ashamed of doubting this more than honorable woman. The kitchen at Lo Scoglio is sizable and needs to be in order to turn out the volume of extraordinary meals they cook on any given day. As we entered, a chef was indeed cooking the zucchine. Antonia explained to me that the smaller the zucchine, the better, and that a significant number of them must be used in every dish. If you have ever cooked zucchine, you will know that the larger they are, the more water they contain and the less flavorsome they are. Many recipes for spaghetti con zucchini alla Nerano will use garlic as well, or even just flavor the oil with garlic with which the pasta is tossed. But at Lo Scoglio, as Antonia said, no garlic is used at all. My guilt for not believing her is still palpable as I write this. The zucchini are fried in a large amount of sunflower oil, which causes them to actually soak up less of the oil than if they were cooked in less oil, if that makes any sense, meaning both my sentence and the concept. Then they are left to drain on paper towels, salted and tossed gently with chopped fresh basil. When the pasta is ready, the zucchini are put into a pan with olive oil and tossed together with the pasta, basil, and some of the pasta water, salt, pepper, and parmigiano. I have read that provolone del Monaco cheese can also be used, but I have never tried it this way, though hopefully, if I ever finish writing this book, I will. Antonia told me that they also make the zucchini in big batches, add chopped basil and salt, and store it in the fridge overnight, allowing the flavors to amalgamate. The next day, the mixture is brought to room temperature and used as needed. Having ocular evidence that her words were true, I thanked Antonia for her hospitality and vowed I would return, a prospect that I am sure caused her some concern. As a matter of fact, lucky woman, I am returning to Lo Scoglio in 2 months' time. It is my intention to stay in one of their rooms, eat spaghetti con zucchini alla Nerano for breakfast, lunch, and dinner, and not once raise a dubious eyebrow or question a single word spoken by the establishment's noble proprietress. I have just recently returned from Lo Scoglio and watched Antonia's brother Tommaso make this dish. On the table were all the ingredients as described above, plus one other. A small dollop of butter. I knew it! P.S. Antonia and I still remain friendly, but I wouldn't trust her as far as I could throw her. I'm kidding. I would do anything for her and her family, always and ever. Following is the recipe for spaghetti con zucchini alla Nerano. Since we introduced it to the kids immediately upon our return from that trip to the Amalfi Coast, it has become one of their favorites. It's also a wonderful dish to make for a family with different dietary desires because it is completely vegetarian, but its depth of flavor will surprise and satisfy most carnivores. Although the process of cooking a huge amount of zucchini can be a bit slow-going, it's worth it. Actually, it's best to make even more zucchini than the recipe calls for the night before and store it in the fridge. This makes the task of putting the dish together the next day a very easy one and allows you to have extra zucchini to use in the coming days, either in a frittata, as an addition to rice or polenta, or just as a side dish. The simple but poignant spaghetti con zucchini alla Nerano, born from a quartet of oil, basil, cheese, and humble squash, points once again to the Italian ability to discover riches where others might find very little. Spaghetti con zucchini alla Nerano. Serves four. About half a quart sunflower oil or vegetable oil, or if you choose, olive oil. 8 to 10 small zucchini. 1.5 cups chopped fresh basil. Sea salt to taste. Extra virgin olive oil. 1 pound spaghetti. 3 cups grated Parmigiano Reggiano. Put the sunflower oil in a large pot and bring it to a low boil over a medium-high heat. Slice the zucchini into thin rounds and fry in the oil until it is golden brown. Remove and set aside on paper towels. Sprinkle with the basil and the salt to taste. Transfer to a bowl and drizzle liberally with olive oil. Boil the pasta until al dente and strain, reserving about 2 cups of the pasta water. Place the cooked pasta in a large pan or pot over low heat along with the zucchini mixture and combine gently. Add the pasta water a little at a time to create a creamy texture. You may not use all of the pasta water. Now add some of the Parmigiano to the mixture and continue to combine by stirring gently and tossing. When the mixture has a slight creaminess, remove from the stove and serve immediately. Note: the zucchini mixture can be refrigerated for about 5 days to use at a later date. Best to bring it to room temperature before using.